When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You heard it on Westwood One on the way in. Odell Beckham Jr. hurt in the Super Bowl. What happens with OBJ and the Rams moving forward? I always wish they called him ODB. It worked. Why did people have to move off of ODB? It would have been so fresh. Anyway, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Good morning, guys.
What up, baby?
Morning. How's everybody this morning?
Great.
Yeah. You had your caffeine, Jay?
Attack your day. Yes, I have.
Attack your day. Why do I sometimes feel like the day is attacking me?
Well, sometimes I feel like you come in the show and you're like, hey, we're here. And I'm like, no, let's go. Get the people going.
I need sleep. How about you, Key? You good?
Wonderful.
See? What's that?
Yeah.
We're coming to you. We're presented by Progressive, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. At least some of us are. Hey, can the Rams make this more than a one-hit wonder? Key, they don't have any draft picks for the next 1,000 years. They're capped out, right? Can they make this more than a one-hit wonder? There's no more Brady. Rodgers is still in the NFC for now. There's a good chance he's not by the time the season starts. Got the Cowboys, right? So there's a contender. The Rams went all in on Stafford to get him. He has a very team-friendly deal, but not much time left on it, and then you're going to have to pay him. I'm looking at the NFC, Key. I see if the Saints get a quarterback, certainly the Niners at the moment. If they still have Jimmy G, they may not. And the Cowboys, right? Can the Rams make this? Can they run this back?
Can they repeat?
Or can they remain a powerhouse and get back to the Super Bowl in the next several years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They could do that. They've got to shore up some things, right? They got to get better in the secondary other than Jalen Ramsey. They've got to figure out what to do with the opposite receivers of Cooper Kupp. And you got two guys off ACLs, potentially. OBJ, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson is there. But is he or can he be the two if those guys can't come back healthy immediately? Then when you look at everything else that they have, the left tackle spot, you sure up that if Whitworth decides that he is done and won't play beyond 40. But I think so. The unique thing about the Rams is they've always done a tremendous job at picking better players in the middle to late rounds, value picks, whether it's a Cooper Kupp, a young corner in David Long, Taylor Rapp, Van Jefferson. They just kind of know outside of the first and the second round how to get guys and build their roster. I think that's why they don't value those higher picks, because they know they can get great value later on in the draft. So I think for them, they could potentially be hanging around over the next several years because the coach is intact. And the way that is funny, because the way that the league is hiring black coaches, Raheem Morris will still be with the Rams as their defensive coordinator, so they don't have to worry about him going anywhere anytime soon.
The NFC is a far less superior conference as it relates to depth compared to that AFC, right? Let's call that for what it is. So we know we got Kyle Shanahan. We'll see what happens with Jimmy G. We know that Sean Payton is no longer with New Orleans Saints. We'll see if they can find a quarterback. We aren't sure whether Green Bay is going to have Aaron Rodgers. We think Aaron Rodgers will go back, considering they're going to, you know, find a way to pay him the value that he's worth. But damn, does this put pressure on Jerry Jones? This NFC is open.
No doubt. You guys
are sitting here talking about what the Rams have to do and can they retool. Guys' contracts are up. What are you doing with Robert Woods? You have OBJ coming off ACL injuries. Dak Prescott got the bag. Jerry Jones, you have Mike McCarthy who's there. Is Mike McCarthy going to be able to get it done with the NFC being this wide open?
I mean,
with Sean Payton waiting on the sidelines? Are you kidding me?
That's see, I don't, such a I don't, great question. Go ahead, Keith.
I was going to say, I don't believe that the NFC is just wide open like that. I don't – just because Tom Brady retires, you got to think these teams that are hovering around, the San Francisco 49ers, they are a team that was just in the NFC Championship game. You would think that they're going to only be better next year. You would think that the Arizona Cardinals, once they figure out whatever their issues are with their quarterback, that they are only going to be better. The New Orleans Saints are only going to be better once they figure out their quarterback situation. You look at the AFC, yeah, you look at the star, young star-studded quarterbacks, and first thing people say is, oh, my God, they're loaded. The AFC is loaded. Well, they were loaded this year, and look who wind up going to the Super Bowl as a representative in the AFC. A team out of nowhere.
He's talking about depth, but he's talking about depth, Key. Like, when you look at it, you say, wait, the Niners, I agree. But Jimmy G, they're already talking about he's going to be traded. Are we sure that Trey Lance is ready? Because Jimmy G is part of their success. Kyler Murray in Arizona, that's a good point. But Kyler's got to show he can stay healthy, and they got to iron out their differences. I think the Dak Prescott and Cowboys point is a great point. What do the Cowboys need? The quarterback got the bag. They still have an O-line. They came up with Parsons in the draft, who is a monster. They got multiple pass rushers. They got guys who can play in the secondary, at least with upside. They're in a weak division in the lesser conference with fewer good teams to compete against. They have really strong coordinators, both head coaching candidates on either side of the ball. Like, what is it going to take for the Cowboys to win?
The same thing that it took for them to win this year. They got the same, everything you just named, they had this year. And they wind up not cashing in. The depth, you look at the depth in the AFC, there's depth in the NFC as well. You got to just look at
where?
It.
Key, all I'm saying is that this thing, it gives an opportunity. We're talking about how the Rams need to retool, and there's a lot of question marks around a lot of different teams. I'm not saying moves can't be made where it makes you look at a team differently, right? Like a situation with New Orleans. I understand. All I'm saying is all the pieces are right there for the boys. It's there, and it's glaring, right? And it just puts pressure on Jerry Jones. And my point was, with Sean Payton waiting there, it constantly brings up that conversation.
I agree. And Key, to your point, so the AFC has teams like the NFC that you mentioned, too, like if they just figure out their quarterback situation, like the
Colts. Absolutely.
Right?
The Colts, or the Titans, Browns, the
or
Titans.
The Browns. So they have
same thing.
But what I'm saying is that tier in the AFC is like the top of the NFC. Because the Niners got to figure out their quarterback situation.
I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as they're the same as the top tier in the NFC, so therefore the NFC is weaker because you believe that the Titans, if they were in the NFC, they'd be at the top of the league.
No. What I'm saying is the AFC has teams where they don't have to figure out the quarterback situation, and they're very strong. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, they got to fix the offensive line, but they were just in the Super Bowl. You're looking at the Ravens, if Lamar stays healthy, right? Like, you have teams that are really good.
The Ravens got more to figure out than anybody. The Ravens got a lot to figure out.
Lamar was healthy, even with all that, they were winning, you know?
Yeah, but that was on some Lamar. They can't. Do you honestly think that they can continue to make a run with Lamar just
doing
that
Lamar
stuff?
Okay,
can't do that.
Fair point. Let's take the Ravens out. The Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals they're set at quarterback, and they're very good teams. There's only one team like that, really, in the NFC, because if we take the Packers out, we don't know about Rodgers' situation. Looks like Jimmy G and the Niners are going to split. The Rams and the Cowboys. There are two teams like that in the NFC.
But how could you take the Packers out when how could you take the Packers out when a man is still at the contract? You can't just eliminate him.
No, I'm not eliminating him. I'm saying, but that's a question mark right now.
Well, yeah, it's a question mark if Eric Bieniemy is going back to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's still a question mark.
I mean, coordinators come and go.
But it ain't like he was important to them. He's important to them.
He is not convinced of these newfangled.
Come on, man. The Cowboys are loaded. talent-wise, they
he is an old-school Bill Parcells. You know what? I'm looking solid and sound football. There are teams in the NFC, too. This is not the way everyone thinks it is. I grew up listening to Parcells. I hear the same thing when Key talks. Keyshawn J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford delivered a Super Bowl. But did they jump to the top of Key's top head coach quarterback duos? Or is he going to do some contrarian thing
McCarthy
here?
And Dak Prescott.
He's going to be like, actually, when you look at Carson Wentz. No, all right, we're going to find out. That's after Key has this from O'Reilly.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. They can even help you find a service center online. Just visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click on Find a Repair Shop. When you see the check engine light on, get the answer you need from professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
These Real Rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. And this is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And are we going to hear the voice of God? Or Key, I think you could just launch.
Number seven.
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Sitting at number seven, Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. Best quarterback head coach duo heading in to the 2022 season. You know, when I look at this situation, I say to myself, Josh Allen has been playing phenomenal. But here's the problem. Brian Daboll isn't there anymore. He's now a New York Giant. You take that away. Now you're thinking Ken Dorsey's going to dial up the same things as the offensive coordinator. I sense a not necessarily a hot seat on Sean McDermott, but people are starting to look at him with one eye open and one eye closed.
Number six.
Number six is Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. I know Kyle Shanahan is, you know, Jimmy G, he's not all hunky-dory. Maybe there's a Tom Brady sighting somewhere in the airport coming through. He's from the area. But as of right now, Jimmy G is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers while he's still under contract for one more year. Hey, he has led him to NFC Championship game this year. He did take him to a Super Bowl. Maybe that's the recipe and he finally gets over the hump.
Number five.
Lamar Action Jackson and Coach Harbaugh is the two, as far as I'm concerned, in this conversation that in the AFC, if they can get things going on the offensive side, running the football, not just with Lamar, but running it solid and sound, the receivers catching the football, getting open, finally, the defensive side, getting all those guys back healthy in the secondary could potentially launch this team into an AFC title game.
Number four.
The guy that we just saw in Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor in the Super Bowl sitting at number four. Nice duel, young duel. They took a lot of people by surprise. I said it earlier in the year. He potentially, Zach Taylor, could be on the move looking for someone to sell his house. Now he's buying a bigger home. The Cincinnati Bengals should be proud of where they're at with this quarterback combination with a young head coach. We'll see what happens moving forward.
Number three.
Here's another situation similar to Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. We're going to talk about it all the way till he gets his commitment. That will be Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. Couple NFC championship appearances for them. They can't seem to get over the hump and get out of their own way. But Aaron Rodgers coming back will be big for the Green Bay Packers. I don't see him going anywhere else to try to win a championship. This is the best situation for him. You got Devontae Adams. You got Kenny Clark on the defensive side of the ball. You are the guy. They're going to give you whatever you want. You ask for it. They're willing to cave in and do that. You need to stay there and be the quarterback to get them over the hump.
Number two,
Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Now, this will be interesting. Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy. Is Eric Bieniemy coming back as the offensive coordinator? Or will the play calling duties go to Andy Reid because Eric Bieniemy steps aside for a little bit in his career? But whoever's calling the plays, you got a bad dude in Patrick Mahomes. And I think Andy Reid realized that, understood that. That's why he moved on from Alex Smith. That's why he drafted him out of Texas Tech. Big Red is the guy sitting at number two with Patrick Mahomes.
Number one.
And number one is the genius. The genius has finally paid off with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Winning a Super Bowl on Sunday, beating up on the Cincinnati Bengals. Here's what I would say. Sean McVay became Sean McVay on the last drive in the fourth quarter. Prior to that, I was scratching my head and wondering when the genius was going to finally come alive. Matthew Stafford, 45 games coming from behind in the fourth quarter. He showed us that he could certainly do it. I know we talked about him being a Hall of Fame candidate. That'll still be open for conversation. But when you talk about two guys, one guy is a head coach of Sean McVay, two Super Bowls in 5 years, chasing Bill Belichick. Will he ever get there? We don't know, but he's certainly headed in the right direction.
So, obviously, no Tom Brady here. He's retired. Yep. Justin Herbert doesn't have a coach, at least on this level yet. I'm trying to think of other glaring omissions that you say, well, what about that quarterback or this guy? Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. Jay, so what do you see?
I can't have Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay number one. I know that they just won a Super Bowl, but I can't be a prisoner of the moment. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, well, I mean, four straight AFC Championship games. I mean, the amount of Super Bowl appearances they could have had if it actually worked out.
Yeah, they're number one by far, to me.
By far, to me. And I know we've talked about this multiple times, too, on the show. We can get to other parts of the list, but we've had this conversation about Dak Prescott being a top five quarterback in the league. And Mike McCarthy, since he's won a Super Bowl, kind of being in the upper echelon as well, I don't know why they're not on the list. Like, I would have them on the list before. I know Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor just got to the Super Bowl, but Zach Taylor was thinking about being fired last year.
Oh, you'd have McCarthy and Dak over Joe Burrow?
I'm just saying
they deserve consideration?
In the conversation. Yeah. I'd say over.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. Sean McVay just won the Super Bowl. There's no prisoner of a moment. You take a guy and you trade two number one picks overall, two number one picks, not overall, a third round pick. You exchange Jared Goff, who you moved up to get as an organization with multiple picks, and it pays off for you. So that quarterback combination and genius of that front office to see what they need and then actually hit on it puts them at number one. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, yes, snack, crackle, pop, and a lot of sizzle. They were at home this year watching the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl last year. Okay, so they've only won one Super Bowl despite being in the AFC Championship game four straight times at home. So they're not number one because of those sort of things. And when you talk about Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, they didn't even win a damn playoff game. So why would I have them in the top seven when everybody that's here, except for Matt LaFleur and
Aaron Rodgers,
Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh did crazy things despite having a team depleted, completely depleted. And when you talk about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, this is a combination that has shown us they can go to two straight NFC Championship games. Whatever happened this year happened, but that him running it back with Matt LaFleur and Devontae Adams certainly gives them the edge to be in here for sure.
I hear you, Key. I just don't think we can diminish, going back to the point about the Chiefs, four straight AFC Championship games. And I know
they're sitting at two.
Excuse me. I'm making the case for them to be number one, brother. That's my point. And I know that Sean McVay and Les Snead went all in for this to pay off. I get that Matthew Stafford was that difference maker. But I'm not going to diminish the overall success,
the
sustained excellence.
Put Aaron Donald on the Chiefs, and they and that they got more
Patrick than Holmes,
you know,
Reed,
like I hear you about the coach quarterback. I agree with you about Dak and McCarthy. They should not be on the in the top seven. But to me, Mahomes and Reed are a distant first, right? Like they're first by so much, and then you could talk about everyone else.
But how could they be a distant?
Because
by,
four times in the last 4 years, they have hosted the AFC Championship game, and they've won a Super Bowl in that time. Like you,
I just took a quarterback from Detroit,
and by the skin of your teeth,
and won the Super Bowl.
By the skin of your teeth, you won the Super Bowl because you have Aaron Donald. That's why you won the Super Bowl.
I won the Super Bowl because my quarterback drove the length of the damn field and hit Cooper Kupp in the end zone on a nasty, ridiculous touchdown. Prior to that, he threw a no-look dig route.
He also threw behind Odell Beckham Jr., according to you, and Odell's knee blew
up. Okay, so he threw it behind him. Okay, so we're not talking about that play. I'm talking about a no-look dig route to Cooper Kupp across the middle.
I'm laughing at this because when this first happened, it was like Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, they're the same guy. I heard this argument from you.
They are the same guy to me.
Okay, so
but at the same time,
Sean
McVay was able to take this dude.
Let me ask
and
you a question.
Win the Super Bowl. So therefore, quarterback
who's a better
combination
coach? Who's a better coach right now, Andy Reid or Sean McVay?
I would say they're even.
Okay, so who's a better quarterback, Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford?
I would say they're even.
Hold on. Matthew Stafford threw a no-look pass.
I'm not talking about the quarterback. Yeah. I'm talking about the head coach. They're even.
Well, okay, so who's a better quarterback, Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford?
Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback than Matthew Stafford.
So by basic
they didn't win the Super Bowl, though, Jay.
Not this year, but they have won a Super Bowl as a combination.
And they won just as many as Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
And you can't win. Separate them. They're together. It's a duo. You can't separate them. Together, Key is saying McVay and Stafford together won the Super Bowl, so they're at top.
Evan, I thought you were saying the opposite comment. Like, look, yes, you have to take them together,
but hold on.
But Jay is saying first, look at their values at each position.
Dude, has not been there.
Okay, wait. So you're saying that what you accomplish over time matters. Well, what the Chiefs have shown is every year they're in the AFC Championship game. They've also won a Super Bowl, which the Rams just did. They've also been to two Super Bowls, which the Rams have also done. But they've also been to four AFC Championship games, which the Rams haven't done. Now, you can make the argument Stafford just got to McVay, one for one, so far, so good. But
dude got there and pushed all the chips to the table, and he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay, but the Chiefs have also won the Super Bowl.
It's like Sonny and Cher. You can't separate them. They're a duo.
As a duo, right? Yes. You take
one
both,
for
it's
one.
Like, all right, so
Matthew
it's,
Stafford and wait, Sean McVay are one for one as a duo.
Wait, Evan. It's like saying, okay.
They are.
So they're one for one as a duo. It's like Michael Jordan and like Scottie Pippen. Like you look at their individual accolades and you combine that and you say, all right, like that's what that duo is. Right? It's one of the best duos the game has ever seen. Like, that's how you compare and come up with a conclusion on what a duo is.
But I think, Jay, what they're saying is this, and I agree with you,
that's
Jay.
That's a short body
because,
of work.
Man, hold on.
Need to stop flip-flopping,
What Jay is saying is, and I want to get through this. Look, the quarterbacks are a wash, or the coaches are a wash, and the quarterback over here is better. That means the value over here is more. What they seem to be saying to me, Jay, is it's not exactly addition. It's a more complex, like, algorithm, right? So together they become something new, the coach and the quarterback, and you can't just add their value. And even
Get
if you
here.
Take that into
Get
consideration,
here, Get here,
I that would de- still
that
de- say...
That defense won the Super
yes.
Bowl for the Rams. Get out of here.
Yes, you're like, giving them, you're giving
Stafford
them credit for Aaron
made some
Donald.
Big plays, but that defense won the Super Bowl for the Rams, where I watched Patrick Mahomes win the Super Bowl for the Chiefs.
Yeah, if you put
Matthew
Aaron
Stafford
Donald on the Chiefs...
one of the greatest drives in fourth quarter history.
Evan, are you really arguing that Matthew Stafford's
really,
as good as Patrick Mahomes?
I'm not arguing that Matthew Stafford's better than Patrick Mahomes. What I'm saying is the combination of Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay
is clearly inferior
than Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The combination of the two.
No, wait a minute.
One
accomplished
more.
No, hold on, Jay. Hold on. No, they didn't. Evan. The combination of the two plus other members on their team accomplished more than the combination of the two plus other members on the Chiefs team. If you're arguing that
Matthew Stafford just led one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history on a drive, you're driving me nuts.
I would not even agree with that, actually. No, it was not against a superior defense. They went the length of the field and scored. Many people have done that in the fourth quarter in Super Bowl history. And the defense is what stopped Burrow from doing the same because they have Aaron Donald and the Bengals don't.
Make that a poll question for Twitter. Let Twitter jump in on here because I think this is great for people to pick their brain on. I think it's great.
I mean, I don't think it's
I don't even think it's close.
I don't think it's controversial
think it's
to
close.
Say most people would say that Reed and Mahomes are ahead of. But, okay.
One for one. McVay and Stafford.
You don't even believe that, Evan.
McVay and Stafford and Donald and Von Miller and, you know, a whole bunch of guys. Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur ranked third on Key's list. But how long will they even be together? It's after SportsCenter.
Nets trying to push this lead back to double figures. Curry watched by Fox. What does Curry say?
You heard on the Yes Network as Seth Curry had 23 points at his Nets debut, helping Brooklyn finally end their 11-game losing streak with a 109-85 win over the Kings. The Nets allowed just 85 points, which is tied for their fewest in a game under Steve Nash. The Nets looking to become the first team to reach the playoffs after losing 11 straight since the 01-02 Raptors. With 40 points in the Bulls' 120-109 win over San Antonio, DeMar DeRozan recorded his sixth consecutive game with at least 35 points on 50% shooting against his old team. That ties Wilt Chamberlain for the longest such streak in NBA history. And at 32 years, 192 days, DeRozan became the oldest player to ever have six straight 35-point games, period. A day after sources had described Kyler Murray to ESPN's Chris Mortensen as self-centered, immature, and someone who points fingers, Murray took to Instagram on Monday. Kyler said, quote, "All this nonsense is not what I'm about, never has been, never will be. Anyone who's ever stepped between those lines with me knows how hard I go. Love me or hate me, but I'm going to continue to grow and get better." Talking about these stories and more on This Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Ah, another great duo, guys. Can't separate Daryl Hall and John Oates. They're together. They're a duo.
Oh, geez.
Yes, that's true. But if you compared them to a superior duo.
I don't know that you can. They're the greatest.
Okay, Evan, okay.
Hall and Oates are the greatest duo ever.
Hall and Oates, baby.
I actually know John Oates, matter of fact.
Really?
But, yeah,
oh.
I knew him back in the day. But like, no. Well, it's not the greatest duo ever.
Really?
I did, yeah.
Like, wait.
But did they accomplish more than some?
Well, when I had my record deal back in the day, we were managed by Tommy Mottola's old production company that also had Hall & Oates.
Ah, yeah. Interesting.
And Mariah Carey. Yeah, yeah.
And Mariah Carey just dropped that one. Okay.
Well, Hall & Oates was a big. Hall & Oates had.
Excuse me.
Hall & Oates had a ton of like, you know.
Jay know what Hall & Oates. What he know about those songs. He
no doubt. But I mean, like they were big. Hall & Oates.
Listen to that, man. He all with Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Very diverse.
Oh yeah.
Very diverse.
Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, Key. They were third on your quarterback head coach duos list. But how long will they even be together? Well, the Packers said they're willing to go all in for Rodgers, according to Adam Schefter. See, what does that say about Jordan Love? Is Jordan Love the worst draft pick ever? Listen to why I'm asking this, okay? I'm not saying he's
just
a...
Just that question,
I'm not
the way it's framed, I get so salty by it.
Of course. That's the point in a hot take. No, the point is, I'm not saying he's a bust yet. How can you say that? Because he hasn't played yet. What I'm saying is, they draft him because they look at Aaron Rodgers under a new head coach. He's learning a new system. He looks more like a game manager, but he's also 37 years old. So they're thinking to themselves, is this because he's learning something new? Or, by the way, they still went 13-3, got to the NFC Championship game, but he didn't look like normal Rodgers to most people. I don't think to the Packers. So they draft Jordan Love, right? Instead of getting Rodgers' help, let's plan for the future in case insurance policy. Then it turns out Rodgers is all world, better than ever. They go 13-3 again, and this time he wins the MVP, and he looks like the same Rodgers as of old in terms of the talent, but now the offense looks better. Oh, whoops. Yep, Rodgers is still Rodgers. We want to keep him. But also, whatever they're seeing from Jordan Love is not convincing them. But that ticked Rodgers off that they draft a quarterback instead of getting him help. So, since they traded up for him, didn't draft help for their superstar, and exacerbated whatever problems they had with Rodgers at the same time, makes it an awful decision to draft that guy for the organization, Key, does it not?
No, it doesn't, because when they were 13-3 at the beginning of the year, it the first time around with Matt LaFleur, prior to drafting Jordan Love, they felt like they needed to pick something. They wasn't necessarily picking a quarterback to replace Aaron Rodgers immediately. Aaron Rodgers didn't like the non-communication. He struggled in his first year statistically because they wanted to get to know what type of player he was. He had to learn their offense. It was all new to him. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they ticked him off because of the bad lack of communication when everybody in America thought that they were going with a different type of player with that first-round pick. Instead, they take Jordan Love, and everyone assumed they're looking to replace Aaron Rodgers the next year. Rodgers was offended, not by necessarily the Jordan Love quarterback. He wasn't worried about that. He wanted another player on top of the Jordy Nelson being gone, getting rid of players that he, Randall Cobb, they were making front office decisions that didn't align with Aaron Rodgers' thoughts. Now, here's a different situation. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre was playing the one foot in, one foot out game for at least 5 years prior to them even taking Aaron Rodgers. He kept messing with him to the point where they took Aaron Rodgers, and then eventually they moved on from Brett because at that time, Brett was like, oh, I don't know if I want to come back. It was like the summertime. Oh, I don't know if I want to come back. I want to come back. And they was like, you know what, man? Enough of that. They didn't know what they had in Aaron Rodgers. They knew that he was a good prospect, but he hadn't played any regular season meaningful games.
But they know they did think he was a good prospect, said, yeah, Keith.
And I think they thought that Jordan Love was a good prospect. We haven't seen Jordan Love.
Do you think they still think that about, like I understand what you're saying, and yet if they were hot, they seemed to be high on Aaron Rodgers back then after they drafted him. He held the clipboard for a couple of years. I don't get the sense they're high on Jordan
Love.
But
they were only high on Aaron Rodgers because Brett Favre, in the end, the year that he went to the NFC Championship game, played so many games with them that they just said, you know what, never mind. Aaron Rodgers ain't really playing a game. He was mad. They fixed it. And now he's just sitting tight. He's going to let them know before they even have to make that decision. It's hard to replace a guy, no matter who the quarterback is. You can put Tom Brady behind Aaron Rodgers, and he just won two consecutive MVPs. It's hard to say, please don't play for me again.
I hate how the miscalculation of an organization then falls on that individual player, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they traded their 30th and 136th pick for the 26th spot, they moved up in the draft, right, to get a guy like Jordan Love. When you have Aaron Rodgers who, you know, in comparison to Aaron Rodgers' standards of excellence, has somewhat of a down year. But you look at players that could have, you know, we talked about this at the beginning of the year, like some of the weapons that they could have had. T. Higgins was there. Could have had T. Higgins. Michael Pittman was there. Like, think about those teams that they actually loaded up with those type of players. And I think, unfortunately, that falls
a
on
a real
the
strong number two to go behind Devontae Adams.
Yes, yeah. And people are going to put that on Jordan Love when that's realistically on the Green Bay Packers.
But I think one of the reasons you reach for Jordan Love is because someone in your front office has identified him as the next big thing, right? Like, you don't reach for a quarterback in the first round if you have Aaron Rodgers. Yes, you have to be wondering about his age and what's going on. Like, it's a question, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't grab that guy unless you think he has a chance to be great. You're not going to take him if you just think he's okay. And I think what they found out is, actually, we don't think he's going to be great. If you still thought he'd be great, and you have I know you don't see him in game action so much. You've seen him a little bit. But you've seen him in practice for 2 years now. You've seen him in some game action. If your opinion was he has a chance to be great, you would not be telling Aaron Rodgers, when you can get four firsts for him probably, hey, we'll do anything for you, etc. Rodgers, it's a combination of Rodgers playing at a very high level, maybe higher than he's ever played right now, And maybe they didn't get what they thought in Jordan Love, let's be honest.
Well, they drafted Jordan Love with the idea that at some point in time, maybe he can be the quarterback, but not the quarterback today. At some point in time, okay, clearly they felt like they needed a backup. He is a cheap backup for them. Backup quarterbacks run at about $8 million veteran-wise. But if you can get a young dude as your backup and develop him along the way to such due time, then Aaron Rodgers doesn't make any sense. Where it becomes very interesting, the longer Rodgers hangs in there, the less Jordan Love gets on the field. Now his contract gets close to expiration and expiring. Now that's when it gets tricky for the Green Bay Packers, because as he gets closer to the end of his deal, you now got a choice to make on fifth-year options and this and that, and then he walks out the door, you in trouble. You wasted a first-round pick at that point.
Did you know that you can listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max commercial-free? That's right. You can listen to all your favorite ESPN shows and much more without the ads on TuneIn, the best audio app for sports fans. Just download the TuneIn app to get started. A doc who's not a doctor. You heard it on Westwood One on the way in. Odell Beckham Jr. hurt in the Super Bowl. What happens with OBJ and the Rams moving forward? I always wish they called him ODB. It worked. Why did people have to move off of ODB? It would have been so fresh. Anyway, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Good morning, guys.
What up, baby?
Morning. How's everybody this morning?
Great.
Yeah, you had your caffeine, J.
Attack your day. Yes, I have.
Attack your day. Why do I sometimes feel like the day is attacking me?
Well, sometimes I feel like you come in the show and you're like, hey, we're here. And I'm like, no, let's go. Get the people going.
I need sleep. How about you, Key? You good?
Wonderful.
See? What's that?
Yeah.
We're coming to you. We're presented by Progressive, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. At least some of us are. Hey, can the Rams make this more than a one-hit wonder? Key, they don't have any draft picks for the next 1,000 years. They're capped out, right?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Can they make this more than a one-hit wonder? There's no more Brady. Rodgers is still in the NFC for now. There's a good chance he's not by the time the season starts. Got the Cowboys, right? So there's a contender. The Rams went all in on Stafford to get him. He has a very team-friendly deal, but not much time left on it, and then you're going to have to pay him. I'm looking at the NFC, Key. I see if the Saints get a quarterback, certainly the Niners at the moment. If they still have Jimmy G, they may not. And the Cowboys, right? Can the Rams make this? Can they run this back?
Can they repeat?
Or can they remain a powerhouse and get back to the Super Bowl in the next several years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They can do that. They've got to shore up some things, right? They got to get better in the secondary other than Jalen Ramsey. They've got to figure out what to do with the opposite receivers of Cooper Kupp. And got two guys off ACLs, potentially. OBJ, Robert Woods. Van Jefferson is there, but is he or can he be the two? If those guys can't come back healthy immediately, then when you look at everything else that they have, the left tackle spot, you sure up that if Whitworth decides that he is done and won't play beyond 40. but I think so. The unique thing about the Rams is they've always done a tremendous job at picking better players in the middle to late rounds, value picks, whether it's a Cooper Kupp, a young corner in David Long, Taylor Rapp, Van Jefferson. They just kind of know outside of the first and the second round how to get guys and build their roster. I think that's why they don't value those higher picks, because they know they can get great value later on in the draft. So I think for them, they could potentially be hanging around over the next several years because the coach is intact. And the way that is funny, because the way that the league is hiring black coaches, Raheem Morris will still be with the Rams as their defensive coordinator, so they don't have to worry about him going anywhere anytime soon.
The NFC is a far less superior conference as it relates to depth compared to that AFC, right? Let's call that for what it is. So we know we got Kyle Shanahan. We'll see what happens with Jimmy G. We know that Sean Payton is no longer with New Orleans Saints. We'll see if they can find a quarterback. We aren't sure whether Green Bay is going to have Aaron Rodgers. We think Aaron Rodgers will go back, considering they're going to, you know, find a way to pay him the value that he's worth. But, damn, does this put pressure on Jerry Jones? This NFC is open.
No doubt. You guys
are sitting here talking about what the Rams have to do and can they retool. Guys' contracts are up. Where are you doing with Robert Woods? You have OBJ coming off ACL injuries. Like, Dak Prescott got the bag. Jerry Jones, you have Mike McCarthy who's there. Is Mike McCarthy going to be able to get it done with the NFC being this wide open?
I mean,
with Sean Payton waiting on the sidelines? Are you kidding me?
That's such a great question. Go ahead, Keith.
I don't believe that the NFC is just wide open like that. I don't – just because Tom Brady retires, you got to think these teams that are hovering around, the San Francisco 49ers, they are a team that was just in the NFC Championship game. You would think that they're going to only be better next year. You would think that the Arizona Cardinals, once they figure out whatever their issues are with their quarterback, that they are only going to be better. The New Orleans Saints are only going to be better once they figure out their quarterback situation. You look at the AFC, yeah, you look at the young star-studded quarterbacks, and the first thing people say is, oh, my God, they're loaded. The AFC is loaded. Well, they were loaded this year, and look who wind up going to the Super Bowl as a representative in the AFC.
He's talking about depth, Key. Like, when you look at it, you say, wait, the Niners, I agree. But Jimmy G, they're already talking about he's going to be traded. Are we sure that Trey Lance is ready? Because Jimmy G is part of their success. Kyler Murray in Arizona, that's a good point. But Kyler's got to show he can stay healthy, and they got to iron out their differences. I think the Dak Prescott and Cowboys point is a great point. What do the Cowboys need? The quarterback got the bag. They still have an O-line. They came up with Parsons in the draft, who is a monster. They got multiple pass rushers. They got guys who can play in the secondary, at least with upside. They're in a weak division in the lesser conference with fewer good teams to compete against. They have really strong coordinators, both head coaching candidates on either side of the ball. Like, what is it going to take for the Cowboys to win?
The same thing that it took for them to win this year. They got the same, everything you just named, they had this year. And they wind up not cashing in. The depth, you look at the depth in the AFC, there's depth in the NFC as well. You got to just look at
where?
It.
Key, all I'm saying is that this thing, it gives an opportunity. We're talking about how the Rams need to retool, and there's a lot of question marks around a lot of different teams. I'm not saying moves can't be made where it makes you look at a team differently, right? I got a situation with New Orleans. I understand. All I'm saying is all the pieces are right there for the boys. It's there, and it's glaring, right? And it just puts pressure on Jerry Jones. And my point was, with Sean Payton waiting there, it constantly brings up that conversation.
I agree. And Key, to your point, so the AFC has teams like the NFC that you mentioned, too, like if they just figure out their quarterback situation, like the
Colts.
Absolutely. Right?
The Colts, the Browns.
So they have. But what I'm saying is that tier in the AFC is like the top of the NFC because the Niners got to figure out their quarterback
situation. I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as they're the same as the top tier in the NFC, so therefore the NFC is weaker because you believe that the Titans, are, if they were in the NFC, they'd be at the top of the league.
No. What I'm saying is the AFC has teams where they don't have to figure out the quarterback situation, and they're very strong. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, they got to fix the offensive line, but they were just in the Super Bowl. You're looking at the Ravens, if Lamar stays healthy, right? Like, you have teams that are really good.
The Ravens got more to figure out than anybody. The Ravens got a lot to figure out.
When Lamar was healthy, even with all that, they were winning, you know?
Yeah, but that was on some Lamar. They can't. Do you honestly think that they can continue to make a run with Lamar
Stuff? Okay,
can't do that.
Fair point. Let's take the Ravens out. The Chiefs, the Bills, and the Bengals they're set at quarterback, and they're very good teams. There's only one team like that, really, in the NFC, because if we take the Packers out, we don't know about Rodgers' situation. Looks like Jimmy G and the Niners are going to split. When you the Rams and the Cowboys, there are two teams like that.
But how could you take the Packers out when he? How could you take the Packers out when the man is still at the contract? You can't just eliminate him.
No, I'm not eliminating him. I'm saying, but that's a question mark right now.
Well, yeah, it's a question mark if Eric Bieniemy is going back to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's still a question mark.
I mean, coordinators come and go.
He was important to them. He's important to them.
He is not convinced of these newfangled.
Come on, man. The Cowboys are loaded, talent-wise.
He is an old-school Bill Parcells. You know what? I'm looking solid and sound football. There are teams in the NFC, too. This is not the way everyone thinks it is. I grew up listening to Parcells. I hear the same thing when Key talks. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford delivered a Super Bowl. But did they jump to the top of Key's top head coach quarterback duos? Or is he going to do some contrarian
thing
here?
McCarthy and Dak Prescott.
Key's going to be like, actually, when you look at Carson Wentz. No, all right, we're going to find out. That's after Key has this from O'Reilly.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. They can even help you find a service center online. Just visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click on Find a Repair Shop. When you see the check engine light on, get the answer you need from professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.